It's my privilege to read the Bible to you this morning. We're continuing our series in Genesis, and I'm reading from Genesis chapter 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up to the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it." But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will take possession of it?" So the Lord said to him, "Bring me a heifer, a goat, a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon." Abram brought all these things to him, cut them in two and arranged them in halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know that for certain, for 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not reached its full measure." When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land."
Thanks, Lyndall, and what a special service indeed it has been. Florence Chadwick was born in 1918 and was one of the great world endurance swimmers. She was the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. And in 1952, she actually decided on this very day, around about this day, 4th of July, I think, she decided to swim 42 Ks in the States from Catalina Island to the Californian coast. She attempted the swim, and 15 hours into the swim, a fog rolled in, and she was cheered on by her family, by her support crew, but she grew tired and was exhausted, and the fog had blinded her sight. She could not see. And after 15 hours swimming, she gave up. They brought her onto the boat, exhausted. The fog began to lift, and they saw that she was less than a kilometer from the shore. Chadwick's story reminds us, you know, in the middle of tough times, we can be tempted to give up. We can be tempted to lose hope. We can actually be tempted to let go of faith. Sam, you have a race to run. And we, as followers of Jesus, we also here today have a race to run. Faith is essential, especially when the fog sets in. We're currently in this series in Genesis of Faith. Sam was very, very keen that we don't deviate from the series at all. So I've been tasked to preach here in Genesis chapter 15. This is a strange passage. It's a strange, sensational, daring encounter that Abram has with God. Now, I'm not using the word Abraham because he's not officially Abraham yet. He's Abram, and God changes his name a little later on in the story. It's not a well-known story, but let's have a look in verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Now, I think this raises a question for us this morning. Why was Abram afraid? What's going on? We need to take a step back just for a few moments to work out why is Abraham afraid. Last week, Sam unpacked for us in chapter 12 that God came and gave Abram a great big promise. He promised Abram that he would have many descendants. He promised Abram a land. He promised Abram that through his family, through his descendants, that all the world would be blessed. So you can see a land, a nation, and that he would bless the world. This is a huge promise that God gives Abram, and we see here that Abram was afraid. If we could map out Abram's life just for a few moments, it would go a little bit like this. God says to Abram, Abram, leave your country, leave your family. And Abram says, well, where? And God says, I'll tell you later, just go. And God says to Abram, I'm going to give you a land. And Abram says, well, where? God says, I'll tell you later, just wander. And God says, I'm going to give you a child. And Abram's like, how? My wife is barren. And God says, I'll tell you later. Just wait. And then finally, Abram does have a child, and God says, kill your child. And Abram's like, why? God says, I'll tell you later. Just walk up the mountain and take a knife, make a fire. Now, we know that Abram doesn't sacrifice his son Isaac. God stops him, but he does go up the mountain. You know, in every situation that Abram faces, he displays a faith marked by obedience, and he has many successes. He lives a life where he triumphs. He's a very normal person, and if you read this story of Abram, you'll read that he is very normal and he has some pretty big weaknesses and flaws. But Abram faced unbelievable circumstances, and he triumphed. He lived a huge life of faith, a huge life of overcoming circumstances. Challenges didn't master Abram. Abram mastered the challenges. In fact, life didn't push Abram around. He overcame. Every single day, circumstances come at each of us, don't they? Every morning we wake up, we wake to a new set of challenges, a new set of circumstances. Life wants to push you around. We set goals and we have dreams, and sometimes they don't always come through. Every day is a day of challenges, and each of us here today is carrying something weighty deep on the inside of our soul. Ministry, Sam, there are times where it is very tumultuous, when the fog sets in. There is internal turmoil and there's external turmoil. Sometimes, Sam, deep inside, you'll be overwhelmed at times by self-doubt, by worry, by anxiety, and at times, guilt and shame over our own sin and fallenness. Then there is always external turmoil. There are projections. People will project on you, Sam, what you ought to be like as a pastor. I want you to remember something. You are not everybody's hero. You will let people down. At times, there will be disappointing moments. There will be criticisms. And there are relentless schemes from the evil one. But how can we, like Abram, overcome? How can we overcome the circumstances of life that make it almost unbearable at times. Every single trial, struggle, circumstance, disappointment that Abram faced, it didn't knock him down. At every point, Abram overcame. He lived a life of mastery. Another way of putting it, he lived a life of faith. Abram lived a life of faith. Now, what defined Abram's faith? Let's have a look in verse 6. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abram believed the Lord, and that was the core of his faith. He believed the Lord. Now, I need you to hang in there with me for a second, because this is a really big point for all of us this morning, and especially Sam, as I've written much of this message in this moment of your ordination service. Faith must be defined by this. Believe God. Believe God. You see, Abram didn't believe in God. He believed God. There's a massive difference here. Abram didn't believe in God. He believed God. Anybody can just believe God. You look at creation, it's pretty amazing. Wow, there must be intelligent design that could put the universe together. Anybody can believe in God, but faith is about believing God. Believing God is trusting in the promises of God, and this is what defined Abram's faith, and this is what enabled him to be righteous or in right relationship with God. Do you follow with me? It's a very important teaching moment. Abram didn't just believe in God. Abram believed God. He believed and trusted in the promises of God. No matter the circumstances, Abram trusted God and he lived a life in which he overcame huge challenges. Faith, Sam, marked by believing God. In Hebrews chapter 6, we actually see that the author of Hebrews refers to Genesis chapter 15. I want to read just a portion of Hebrews chapter 6 for us. When God made his promise to Abram, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, "I will surely bless you and give you many descendants." And so after waiting patiently, something that I would love to learn more of, waiting patiently, Abram received what was promised. The passage goes on, it says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. This is what Abram had. This was his hope. He believed God. Even though what God was saying looked impossible, Abram believed God. And this defined his faith. An anchor for the soul, that's a pretty powerful metaphor and image. When you think about this anchor for a moment, it's pretty obvious what an anchor does when you're in a boat and there's certain currents that are coming your way and you want your boat to be stationary. You hurl your anchor, not just into the water, but you hurl the anchor so it can go down deep, deep, deep into rock or into sand so that the boat will not be affected by the current. I can always remember as a kid, we're up at Tookley, my mum and dad, and we're just in this rowboat. We hired a rowboat. A storm was coming. The tide had changed. And we're trying to get up underneath this bridge. And have you ever seen when tides change and the water is rushing between the pylons? And my dad was trying to row against the current. And I just remember we had so many attempts. We'll go up and it went the other way. We'd go up and went the other way. To this point, we drew a crowd. And I felt for my dad. I was a little kid, right? I must have been about 8 or 10. And we drew a crowd. People were then on the bridge watching my dad try to, they thought it was hilarious. I was freaking. Lightning was like on the horizon. And we could have done with an anchor, I reckon, if we just had have anchored, waited for the tide to change, and then go up, we would have been fine. You see, we at times, we try to put our anchors into the water that doesn't sink down deep. We try to put our anchor into anything other than God's promise, and it's only going into the water. And the currents of life will actually start to sweep us away. If we put our anchor into friendships, if we put our anchor in life into finances, if we put our anchors into assets or career or looks, you name it, that's only just putting your anchor in the water. Because the currents of life will actually sweep us away if it's not believing in the promises of God. Because when that anchor is firmly in place, when that anchor is firmly into a rock, imagine that, the anchor's in the rock. It's in the sand. The currents are strong and the boat is hardly affected by the current at all. And the writer of Hebrews says that Abram had this hope, which was an anchor for his soul, firm and secure. And what was his faith? He believed God. He believed God and trusted in his promises. And if your anchor in life is just in circumstances, if your anchor is in material possessions, if your anchor is just in people, then you're going to be tossed about by life. And the currents can easily just sweep us away from faith. The only hope that we can have is to anchor our soul into the bedrock of God's promises, who never moves and can't be changed. Sam, I want you to come and join me on stage here because I have a little memento for you on this day. Would you keep this somewhere? And I hope you remember this moment. It's a key ring with an anchor on it and on the back engraved hope. Hebrews 6:19, first of the seventh, 18. Pray you remember this moment, Sam, that your faith would be defined by anchoring into the bedrock of God's promises and believe God when currents want to sweep you away, when the fog wants to come in and blur your vision. It's only anchoring into the promises of God that will hold you in a firm and secure place. That defined Abram's faith. He even got a mention in Hebrews for that. Bless you, Sam. Abram was able to anchor his soul down to the promise of God. And how can we? I think it's a really good question for a few moments. How can we do that? How is it possible? How can we believe God, especially in the challenge of life? Well, I want to encourage you, us and Sam, in these ways, being still before God. Being still before God in creation. When you connect to creation and nobody's around and your phone is turned off and you're just breathing and you're ever looking at the ocean or you're in the bush and you are connected to what God made and you're just still with no noise and you cry out, Abba, Father, help me. That is putting your anchor into God. We live lives that are so loud, so busy, so overscheduled that we're hardly and rarely still before God. If you want to anchor your soul, then we need to be honest with God. Encourage you, Sam, to just tell God how you feel. Get it off your chest with God. I love to have a coffee with God. I say, I'm making a coffee. God, we're having a coffee. And I'm telling you how I feel, and I'm not so happy. And just let God know how you feel. It is so liberating, and it draws us closer to the promises of God. Renew your mind. Marinated in the Word of God, it keeps bringing us back on track. And self-talk is good, but if you quote Scripture to yourself, that's the best kind of self-talk ever. Quote Scripture back to yourself during the day. Keep reiterating Scripture. And this is really important. It may seem a little obscure, but a relentless love for others anchors you into the promise of God. And when the church isn't so lovely to you, Sam, and when life becomes difficult and hard, and you know you haven't done the job you want to do, relentlessly love, never stop loving in all seasons, in all moments, and that is an anchor into the promises of God because God is love. When life's currents want to toss us about and the fog of life's challenges set in, can we be still there? Can we believe God there? Because it's all very good to philosophize about it this morning, But when life's challenges really come upon us and we're tossed about and the currents of life want to sweep us away from faith, will we still believe God in those moments? When the fog sets in and you can't see and you're not feeling great on the inside, can you still believe God and trust his promises? Because Abram really struggled to do this. He really struggled. In verse 8 of Genesis 15, we read, "But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know? How can I know that I will gain possession of it?" That's a good question, isn't it? When the fog sets in, the current wants to sweep us away. How can we know God? How can we really believe that you'll be there for us? How can we really trust your promises? And God says to Abram, "Abram, let me help you get your anchor down into the bedrock of my promises, my character, of my presence. You see, if we believe God, here's the wonderful news today. If we believe God, then God deepens our faith. God will deepen our faith. God helped Abram get his anchor deep, deep, deep down into the bedrock of his character. If we believe God, God deepens our faith. In verse 9, it sounds a little strange because God says to Abram, go get a heifer, go get a goat, go get a ram, they need to be 3 years old, and oh yeah, go get a couple of birds as well, a dove and a pigeon. What is going on? What is God saying? And Abram does this, and it's like he just knew exactly what to do. He gets these carcasses, and he cuts them in half, and he makes a runway of meat. How did Abram know to just do that? Abram knew exactly what to do when God said, bring all those animals. He knew exactly what that meant. We need to understand very briefly how those in the ancient Near East signed a contract if we're going to understand what's happening here. Because when we sign a contract, we have a bit of paper and our signature. But in the ancient Near East, it didn't work like that. I did a wedding somewhat recently, and Andrew held the wedding and I signed off on it, and of a young adult couple in our church here, and they made various promises to each other. I take you to be my... in sickness and in health, in richer and poorer. Imagine if the wife-to-be said, but how will I know? How will I know that you'll do those things? Imagine if the groom said to his wife after she made those promises, but will you really do that? Will you really? How will I know you'll do that? So what does the bride and groom do? They go and they sign a contract. And in our culture, that means that there's consequences if you break your word. And in the ancient Near East world, in order to sign a contract, because they lived in an oral storytelling culture, they would act out the consequences, far more dramatic. So what would happen is that you would make this runway of meat, you would agree on whatever the oath is, and you would both walk through the runway of meat, and you would act out the consequences of breaking the word. So when you walked through those carcasses, what you're saying is that if I don't come good, you can cut me in half, and my flesh can be food for the birds of the air, the beasts of the field. Pretty dramatic, really, isn't it? A little more consequential when you come to an agreement in the ancient Near East. And now Abraham, being told to bring all these animals, he knew what to do. He knew that this meant that this was a covenant ratification ceremony. God was making a contract. Only Abram had no idea what was about to happen. No idea. Verse 12, as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Let's hold on to this word darkness just for a few moments because it's really important. We're going to touch on that in a few moments' time. Darkness came upon Abram and a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and it passed between the pieces. This idea of smoking pot and blazing torch, scholars don't really know what these words translate as, but what we do know is that this word smoke and blaze, they were the same words used on Mount Sinai when God came in fire and smoke. It's the same words that's used when Israel were in the wilderness wanderings, and by day there was a pillar of smoke, and by night there was a pillar of fire, a blaze. What we do know is that when God's presence was coming, it was coming in fire, it was coming in smoke, and God walked through the very present, those very carcasses in the middle of them, It's the presence of God. It was hard for Abram to look at. It was so severe. I mean, to try and describe it, it's like lightning that just came and held its shape and then spewed out sparks and fire and smoke. And the presence of God went through the carcasses. What God was doing there, he was answering Abram's question, "How can I know, Lord?" Whatever circumstances are coming your way right now that's making life a little hard, whether it's internal turmoil, whether it's external challenge, it's a very good question if you're a disciple of Jesus that does believe God. And we ask this question, how can I know God? How can I know that you're going to come through? How can I know that you're going to be here for me? This is how God was answering Abram's question, how can I know? How can I trust in your promises? And God appears and God walks through this runway of meat. But notice that God does it alone. God was the only one that walked through these carcasses. Only God acted out the consequences of the curse. Do you know what God's saying to Abram by doing that? Do you know what God's saying to us this morning? He's saying, I've promised to bless you, Abram. I've promised to be your God, and I'm going to bring salvation to the world. I've promised to bless you. And this is what God's saying. He says, if I do not do what I say, may my immutability experience mutation. God is saying, may my immortality suffer mortality. May my infinity suffer limitation. May my power suffer powerlessness. God is saying, may I be cut off and destroyed and ripped to pieces. Yes, God is saying that. Abraham must have looked at God and was like, wow. God walked through alone. God didn't say, okay, Abram, now it's your turn. You can do it. Abram didn't walk through, and this is absolutely unique because both parties would walk through the runway, the carcasses, in order to act out the consequences of the curse. Can you see what God's beautifully doing here? Can you see what God's really pointing to here about Jesus who would take on the curse? God knows that Abram's going to let him down. God knows that Abram's going to be unfaithful. So God takes the curse upon himself, if he failed or if Abram failed. This is a beautiful foretaste into the gospel in all its mystery and all its beauty. But what it really means is by God only walking through the carcasses, do you know what it really means? It means that God is a promise giver and a promise keeper. And this is what it means for us today. So when God says, I will never leave you, he can't. He can't. When God says, go and be my disciples in all the nations around the world and I'll be with you, he has to walk with us. When God says, I love you with an everlasting love, it means that God has to love you for all eternity. When Jesus says that the gates of hell will not overcome his church, it means that the body of Christ will never be defeated. It can't be, because if God doesn't come through on any of his promises, it means that his future character will change the day that he passed through that runway of carcasses alone. It's saying this, believe God. He will deepen your faith, but he will also come true on his promises. Because if God doesn't fulfill his promise, his very nature and character will change. Who knows what would happen to the universe if that happened? That's why God is a promise giver and he's a promise keeper and he always fulfills his promise. God deepens Abram's faith in full acknowledgement that Abram's going to let him down. And that's why he only walks through those carcasses. And you know, if we believe God, he will deepen our faith, even though we're going to let him down. He will never let us down. I want to finish and close on this thought, because Genesis 15, I believe it strongly, this moment, it strongly points to Jesus. Because you see, salvation is not a cooperative effort. It's not that God helps those that helps themselves. Salvation's not a partnership. God comes through and says, I'm going to take the curse of sin on myself. We can't save ourselves. And God knew that Abram can't save himself. And God knows that one day when he does this to Abram, and Abram had no idea what God's doing, that God would actually take the curse, the consequences of failure upon himself. And that's the curse of our sin. Centuries later, from Genesis chapter 15, remember I said, remember darkness? Darkness does come down again. And we read about it in Mark 15, 33. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Darkness came down again as it came upon Abram. It came upon Jesus Christ on the cross who took the curse of our sin. God's immortality did become mortal. God died. God was cut off. He was trampled off in the dust, and darkness came upon Jesus. But we praise God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we sang, that launched this sermon this morning, because that is the hope of our salvation, that Jesus is alive. The curse of sin has been broken. God is faithful. We are unfaithful. He will love us forever, and that can never change. So we have this hope, Jesus Christ, who is the anchor of our soul. And when we put our anchor into the bedrock of God's promises, he will come through. He will fulfill his promises. And when the fog rolls in and the circumstances of life want to beat us down, God will come through. We must fix our eyes on Jesus and him alone. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you are a faithful, faithful God, that you would do what we can't. That Jesus, you hung on that cross to take the curse of sin upon yourself, and you were innocent. But praise you, Father, that you raised your Son back to life. Oh Lord, we believe, but would you help us in our unbelief? Father, when the fog of life rolls in, when circumstances want to knock us down, Lord, help us to believe you, to trust in your promises in those moments. Lord, as we seek you out, please be near. As we call upon your name, please respond. Father, as we seek to not be swept away by the currents of this life, Lord, would you hold on to us? Because at times, Lord Jesus, it feels like we're being swept away. Lord, would you help us get the anchor of our soul into the bedrock of your promises? Would you help us do that? And I pray that we too can live a life marked by faith to believe you, our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.